Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out as we kick off into our intro to Pride shows. This week, we're talking Cutiepock.
The hunk next to me is Mr. Shilton, and I'm Steph Barnett. Laura will be here with friends to talk about this year's Pride.
Plus, we catch up with Just Like Us. All that and more coming today right here on Shout Out.
Hello.
How are you all feeling?
Good evening. Well, the sun's out.
I was going to say, yeah. Kind of makes this track quite fitting, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Driving around with the roof down this evening.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So. It's got to be done.
Hello, Hans.
Hello. Good evening.
So, although you're sporting a nice jumper, but then I suppose the aircon is on in here, isn't it? It's
lit. Yes, and I'm always a little bit cold, so... I wanted to look, also stand out. You
know, everyone's wearing their Pride outfits, aren't they?
Well,
in their best clobber.
Apart from the hot pants. They're on underneath.
If you hear some crashing and banging, the BBC camera crew are roving around the studio, climbing over everybody, chairs and desks. So
it's a rather big camera, isn't it? I was expecting a smaller little DSLR or something.
It is rather large, isn't it? Yeah, and it's got that furry thing on the end as well.
So anyway, I was going to say, it can't be near Pride yet because Lara's hair hasn't changed colour. So, are we going rainbow this year again? You're going rainbow, yeah.
No, not quite rainbow, probably like purple and pink.
See, the nodding doesn't work on radio, does it?
No. Lara's here. She's a blind guest today. We're talking about Cutiepock at Pride.
Yep, which is, if you don't know, you've been huddled in a hole somewhere. It's the 13th of July, is the main Pride day.
Yes.
And we will be there live on... 8 stations.
But there's so many events going this year, because of course it's 10th birthday.
10th birthday, and they've got room for 10,000 more people, and it's on the Downs.
Up at the Downs. Fingers crossed it doesn't rain.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that, or we'll just have a mini Glastonbury if it rains, won't we?
Well, we'll have to get our wellies out, so...
Yeah. Well, we got a roof, haven't we, on the studio?
We're all kind of okay. But, you know, it's nothing worse than being in the audience when
we'd all be huddled. There's a BBC satellite van going to be parked up close, so we'll all huddle in there, I guess.
Yeah, keep warm. Keep warm, it'll be good. So, but no, I'm really looking forward to it. And of course, next week we're talking to Queer Vision as well, which is a film festival.
It is.
Find out what films are on. They always have such a brilliant selection. I always like, my favourite are the little shorts. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they put little short clips together.
They show them at the Cube usually, don't they?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I saw the first ever one, and that was actually at the bigger place.
Watershed.
That's it, thank you. bigger place.
That was so descriptive.
You knew what I meant.
You got it.
It could have been the showcase or another.
Indeed, yeah. But no, they're here next week. And of course, Darren himself, who's one of the main organisers, I don't know his official title. Is he chairman or something?
Well, he was on Ujima earlier. So if you were fiddling with your dials in Bristol, then they were on Darren was on 98 between 6 and 7, talking to Tommy Peppercorn about Pride.
Cool. And we should kind of say, we will be broadcasting live all day from Pride, so we will be live. And what's quite unique about our content is we tend to get to talk to all the acts as they come off stage too, which is really good. So we get to have a bit of a chat with them. But the main reason we do it is to reach out to those that can't, for whatever reason, go down and enjoy the event themselves. You can actually listen. And we're really pleased to say this year, BBC Radio Bristol are joining us as one of the stations.
At 2 o'clock.
We will be
with
broadcasting
Ujima
with.
And so the two BBC channels, Somerset and Bristol.
And of course, our home station BCFM is taking the whole thing, obviously, from midday all the way through to around about 9 o'clock, I think it is.
And Radio WSM, Base Radio, and Pirate Nation, all taken.
Which should be good. Yeah,
Bradley State Radio.
Am I going to completely spoil your event section now?
There is no event section.
There better be, because I've got a...
No, I've got something special lined up just for you, Andy.
Oh. Well, do you need a jingle?
Yes. Dinosaur porn, dinosaur porn. We're going to be talking about dinosaur porn.
We need a glass
porn
that's sort of gently starting to shake, although, again, wouldn't work for radio. I've just described it. That's what's happening.
Okay, so we need a T-Rex thump.
That'll have to do. So.
The BBC sound effects department won't supply us with the odd sound effects. So,
Well, do you want jingle or not?
Carry on, knock yourself out.
Okay. But so I have no idea whether we have an event or not. But so what are we talking about?
Dinosaur porn. The clue was in the jingle.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is the only reason I got into radio was so that I could talk about dinosaur porn live on Earth. And now that's becoming a reality.
Yeah, that's my work here is done. Third time you've done that now.
And it's a blog.
Yeah, but... Yeah, this is slightly more in depth.
Yes, carry on, get on with it.
So Hans is doing it, you're not doing it.
No,
I'm doing it.
What do I know about dinosaur porn?
Well, not much, so if you're ready,
right.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
So obviously, well, not obviously, but there are many different types of erotica. And this is not about kink shaming. However, I recently discovered that there is such an erotica as dinosaur porn. / dinosaur erotica.
Right.
Which is actually taken very seriously.
I'm finding that very hard to do, but carry on.
There are many Kindle books, Andy, that are number one bestsellers. Some of them titled, such as Taken by the T-Rex. I feel like I can say that. Is that okay? Do I need to give...
No, yeah.
Give any more information. Ravaged at Dino Land. And my favourite, T-Rex Forced Me Gay.
Okay.
By Hunter Fox. That one is one of the only ones written by a man, I hasten to add.
A straight man or a gay man?
I haven't asked Hunter. I might tweet him later.
I think you ought to.
Yeah.
You're the researcher.
Yeah, maybe should have done that before, and then I would have had some answers. So obviously, it's a subject that is, whenever I bring it up, you know, over lunch, people
just like you do.
Yeah, obviously.
Like surprising me on the radio by talking about.
Now, we were talking off mic about the humans that can turn into dinosaurs, and you said that Ross Geller is really a dinosaur that transformed
I
into...
I said that...
Did I get that right?
Partially, that David Schwimmer appears in my own dinosaur erotica as a dino shapeshifter who goes to Dinosaur Island with Paul Hollywood.
And yours? Are you saying you write your own erotica?
I wasn't quite prepared to talk about that, but yes, I have been known to write a couple of dinosaur eroticas. Yes, I have.
I'm guessing they're far too rude for radio.
I can give you what would be on the back of the book. What's that called?
The back. Synopsis.
The synopsis. which is that...
It's all right, listeners, there's only a minute left.
Genuinely, without me going on about my short story, it is actually a really fascinating subject to look into if you do want to, you know, to put a smile on your face again, so to speak.
So is this the idea that it's all about sort of dinosaur interaction, or is it
if
just...
If you like...
So
that's the PG version.
You had to ask.
That's
I'm thinking about
the dinosaurs.
Yes, I'm all thinking about that side of it rather than just the puerile sort of physical anatomy of it.
Well, the books that you can acquire on Kindle are very much about the erotica. Mine, however, is 80% storyline.
Right.
because that made me feel more comfortable. There was a build-up to Paul Hollywood and David Schwimmer suddenly morphing into their favourite dinosaurs and then having experiences with two comedians who I happen to also like, Sophie Hagen and Jodie Mitchell. Shout out.
Different.
It's not very often I'm struck for words. On air.
This is very different, Andy.
Well, you know, I think, you know, in all seriousness, erotica is something that a lot of people struggle to talk about, and there are so many different sides.
Well, when it involves dinosaurs, that doesn't surprise me, no. I have to admit. So is yours on a blog or something? Can people...
Not yet, no. Not yet. I'm just going to self-publish it. I feel like that, and it will be not under my name. So I think the title...
Well, if you're interested, email dinosaurs at shoutoutradio.lgbt and we'll see what we can do about it.
Why not go for it?
But thank you, Hannah.
You're so welcome.
There's an awful lot on Google.
Yes, there is.
Awful lot on Google.
We ought to say probably not safe for work, in case you're still at work listening. Well, that was the most interesting event section I've ever done. Stay with us. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a peanut butter jelly. That's by Galantis.
That's very hardcore.
Well, it's a, you know, summer, isn't it? Heading up to Pride season and the like. It's
okay.
Yeah. Oh, you like that, don't you?
No.
Don't you? Oh, okay.
I do love peanut butter, but putting jam or jelly with it, absolutely no way.
I love it. Half and half.
Well, you like the song or the food?
Oh, the song and the food.
Song, yeah.
No, the song's good.
It's kind of funky. Yeah. It's a bit of an old one now, actually, but I quite like it.
You swing both ways, do you?
I do. I swing every way.
So peanut butter only or jelly only?
I get a slice of toast and half is peanut butter and half is jelly, and then I fold them together.
Have you ever had a peanut butter jelly sandwich?
Yes.
Because they are really nice.
Yes,
that's what
they
she
are.
Was just describing.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway, it's time to get a little bit serious. It's going to be very difficult following that last one. So, are you ready for this, Hannah? Because you've got to do news now, so it's got to be serious. No dinosaurs.
Born ready.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So, hello, Terry, by the way. So, oh, hang on. I haven't got a microphone for you. There we go.
Hello there.
There we go. Hello.
All right.
Right, here we go.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 20th of June.
BBC Radio 2 reported Sunday that the respected Nuffield Theatre in Southampton has been forced to cancel two final nights of a gay-themed play after two gay women who appeared in the production were subject to an attack by phobic heterosexual male thugs. Objects were thrown at the women from a moving car. The Metro newspaper took up the story, explaining that the theatre felt that they could not go on with the final performances without some of their cast, and adding that one woman had been knocked unconscious by the flying objects. Police are believed to be investigating. The decision to stop the performances was not without its critics ever. However, with some people taking to social media to argue that cancelling gave the wrong message to potential homophobes. One woman writing comment on a comments forum suggested that it was time for LGBT people to re-engage with the idea of self-defence. Taking her cue from the feminist argument that self-defence against male violence is no offence, she said that the community should rediscover the doctrine of the US-based group Queer Nation back in the 90s. They said Bashback, and in their manifestos argued that LGBT community should be prepared to take self-defence classes and be proactive against any threat of assault.
Now, Radio Free Europe is a famous radio network set up in 1949 that broadcasts to Russia and other countries from transmitters in Germany. It's known for championing democracy in a lot of countries where there are authoritarian tendencies, and the station has a wide following amongst LGBT people who rely on it for balanced information compared to the state-controlled Russian media. This week, a trans man called Francis Savinovskij made headlines in Russia when the authorities took away two foster children, citing concerns that their upbringing with him was not traditional. At the time, Savinovskij had the name Yulia and didn't accept being a man. He fled to Spain to seek political asylum and has been recognised by the authorities there as a man. Now, the full video report is available to view at the Radio Free Europe website.
Gay Times magazine says that Brad Pitt has reportedly threatened to sue the organisers of Straight Pride for using his image without consent. The heterosexual supremacist organisation, ridiculously titled Super Happy Fun America, had the Oscar-winning actor and director as a mascot on their website. The caption read, "Congratulations to Mr. Pitt for being the face of this important civil rights movement." The group of activists in Boston, Massachusetts, consists of Mark Sahadi, of right-wing group Resist Marxism, and two pro-Trump supporters called John Hugo and Chris Bartley. They have a standard far-right wing agenda and are involved in racist politics as well as heterosexual supremacism. They want to hold their march at the end of August. Straight people are an oppressed majority, their website claims. They have also demanded the same parade route as the Boston Pride Parade. According to television network TMZ, Pitt has condemned the proposed event. His picture has now been removed from the website and any mention of him has now been redacted. The Straight Pride event has been widely criticised and mocked on social media. Captain America himself, Chris Evans, blasted its organisers with a scathing attack on his personal Twitter account. Just a thought, instead of Straight Pride Parade, how about this? The desperately trying to bury our own gay thoughts by being homophobic because no one taught us how to access our emotions as children parade. What do you think? Two on the nose? Pink News takes up the story and reports that several attempts have been made to organise similar events over the years, but that they rarely muster more than 10 or 20 participants.
And finally, in sports, the popular African Caribbean community newspaper The Voice says that the England Lionesses playing in the Women's World Cup are great role models. However, 88% of British women have never played in a football team, compared to 48% of men. A third of women also said that they wouldn't be taken seriously, they felt, if football teams were mixed, and only 31% of British women feel that they will be watching at least some of the Women's World Cup this year, which is being hosted in France. The BBC in particular has elevated the position of women's football in the tournament, with coverage being given equal prominence to men's football on BBC One television and on the Rolling News and Sport Network, Radio 5 Live. Press coverage has been somewhat more muted, although the leftist daily paper The Morning Star has been following the women's tournament closely on its sports page.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrine.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Rag and Bone Man and a Skin.
Yeah, good song for you.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I actually like the one before as well.
You do?
Yeah.
What, the peanut butter jelly?
Yeah, because it said spread it like, and I was like, yeah.
Especially like after dino porn.
Yeah, after the dino porn, I was like, well into that.
You were on a roll, weren't
you? I was like getting slip and sliding, like.
that was Lara, you could hear in the background laughing her head off.
Of course, my laugh is so loud.
Yeah, so. No, it seems really weird, because I'm used to presenting them with you. I'm used to having you this side, but of course we're into Pride season.
Yeah, yay. It's exciting.
Are you
exciting.
Looking forward to Pride?
Who, me or Peter?
Well, both of you.
Yeah, of course I am. It's like the highlight of the year.
I'm actually so exciting. Not that it's like, I don't know if I can say that on air, so I'm not going to, but like it's definitely a season of meeting people.
Yeah.
And finding more people to hang out with.
Yeah. Now, we're talking Pride and the like, and we're talking Kiki and Cutie Pock and the like, should we start off with some explanation? So first off, someone's not going to have heard the phrase Cutie Pock.
No, they are not.
So should we start with that? What's Cutie Pock stand for?
So Cutie Pock stands for Queer, Trans, Intersex People of Colour, and it's a really handy, short way of encompassing all of those people.
And cuties for short, if you really want to go there, but yeah. Like Cutie Pock, yeah, cuties, because we're cutie. So like, yeah, no, I think Cutie Pock really encapsulates a lot of the BME community, so it's a nice term, and it's quite it, we kind of love that, so yeah. That's why we use it quite a lot.
I'm hearing it a lot more than we did like a year or two ago.
It's grown. 12 months ago I don't think any of us would have heard of it, so it's becoming more of a known thing, isn't
it? I think people are feeling quite comfortable with that terminology. And it kind of describes us really well.
Yeah.
Now Kiki was started for what purpose?
Well, Kiki was started because we really wanted a safe space for BME people who are LGBT as well, who are LGBT plus, to come and talk and be together, basically, and not feel like they're a minority in a room. We wanted to feel yeah. like we were a majority. And there's certain things that you can just talk about yeah. with QTPOC people that sometimes other people just won't understand, and that's totally fine. But for us, it's quite isolating sometimes. So it's really nice to get together and talk with each other about our experiences so we don't feel so alone and isolated, because Bristol is still, on a whole, a large majority white. So it's quite hard for us to feel like we're not, like, spread out and we have no community at all. So we wanted to bring people together to create this community, which is so important, intrinsic to our lives and our survival as QTPOC people.
So is Kiki a meeting then?
It started out as quite an informal once a month night where we just advertised it quite minimally and just had a few people there, and it's just kind of snowballed into this.
I can't even tell you how
organization. It's just I can't believe how popular it's become and how much support we've had from other parts of our community, other parts of the LGBTQ plus community.
So it's really great, because we spoke to you when you were first starting.
We've won two awards this year.
And I can tell you now, I generally don't know how I even got onto the committee. I think I just smuggled my way onto that, because apparently suddenly I was a part of the chat, and then suddenly I was organising stuff, and I was just like, well, if it happens, I'm just going to be here, you know, I'm just going to keep going as soon as, like, they don't recognise them still. I don't know how that happened.
How many people are kind of coming now then? I mean, is it, because you do meet regularly,
don't
you?
So what we've started to do every 2 months, just a bit of a shout out for us, we're putting on a booty base with Kiki event, and that's at Briscoe, and that's every 2 months, like I said, and that's an excellent way to bring loads of people together, and that has actually gotten quite a lot of people, hasn't it?
Yeah, so unfortunately I wasn't able to make the last one.
We won't talk about that.
I'm so sad. I don't. But it was really, really
busy. It was insane.
Yeah.
I got up on stage and started twerking. That needed to happen.
Apparently.
It just needed to happen. I was wearing a skirt. I didn't care if I flashed
anyone.
That'll
be somewhere on Facebook.
I didn't even care. I just completely went out. Because the thing is, that's the beautiful thing about Kiki. Like, you can get to be yourself. You can get to dirty wind. You can get to, like, brock up your back and all that stuff, and feel like you're not being judged, or feel like you're not an outsider, that someone's like, oh god, that's not classy, like, or whatever. You don't have to care about that, because you know people get how you dance, and you'll probably catch
someone, and they're doing it with you,
or trying to control your wind, which I'm not displeased with. So, you know,
because you get it, even just being part of LGBT plus community, but the devil's advocate question is, people do say, you know, why do you need a group that's even smaller inside a group that's small enough in the first place? But
because I think the thing is, like, it's very easy for people to say that Kiki is divisive, because it is keeping it within ourselves, but, like, people still forget that there is racism within the LGBT community,
very sadly.
And I don't want to say it's a massive thing, but there is still homophobia within the black community, and so with those combinations, we need a safe space for ourselves. You know what I mean? It's not so much we're running away from something, we're just running towards each other.
Have you allowed, as a safe space, people to come to you who aren't out, who feel then secure and safe, and you empower those individuals who might be having a rough time with their families and friends?
That's exactly the kind of thing that we're looking at. And we have had instances of people, coming along to our nights and not completely out within their BME community, but they've got this one space where they can go and just be themselves. And that's exactly the crux of what we're trying to do.
That was the main goal.
Yeah, because some people find it really, really difficult. There is a lot of stigma in the BME community. Yeah. And homophobia, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. So, Pride.
Pride, yes.
What's the plan? What's Kiki doing?
We also have a group with, is it Hidya? I don't know how, is that?
Hidya,
that's it. Yeah. And they're like a Muslim LGBT group who we also support and are a part of us. And I think it's really important for us to mention them, because a lot of Muslim people do need support. And we have that, and we facilitate that. And that's important to us, because especially in the current climate, we need to support each other.
Sounds like some people we should get on the show.
Exactly. Mm. So definitely will. We'll sort that out. But yeah, Pride. I am so excited. I have got my outfit sorted.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Already?
In my head.
Wow.
But like, I haven't bought it yet. Like, but it's in my head. It's colourful. It's beautiful. I'm going to look. I'm going to slay.
It has to be said that having known Lara for a few years now, she's got most gorgeous hair. But for Pride, you kind of change some of the colour of your locks.
I feel like I have to do it, but I'm definitely doing it this year.
Yeah.
I just haven't decided.
Has Kiki organised something official for Pride, or are you just marching?
Yes. So we're gonna have our block, and we're gonna be marching in the parade.
Right.
We're also creating a room at the after party at the O2. So the official after party where we're gonna have some DJs and performers and decorations.
Brilliant DJs.
And just have an amazing party. We may have a few things in the pipeline for the run up, but they're still being talked about. So I wouldn't want to say.
Are you going to have a stand actually at Pride?
No, we're going to be mingling. But,
I think last year I didn't leave the dance floor for like 3 hours. I was pretty sure I was. I think I was almost covered head to toe in sweat.
Are you talking about the after party?
Yeah, after party, not during. Well, anyway.
I remember seeing you dancing for the main thing.
But yeah, like in that. So the after party, definitely anyone who's Cutiebok and allies are welcome to definitely come along and boogie with us. We are so open to that because
Well, there are lots of evening events, aren't there? But the O2 is the big one.
Yeah,
and I think official one.
We make it bigger though. Like people coming through, they just stopped and they just stayed and just danced. And I think it's.
What do you think? I mean, the way Kiki's going and it's growing. Do you think it's possible next year you may be doing an official Kiki after party?
I think we need a couple more years to that.
I think we need to get a little bit more organised. A little bit. Get our ducks in a row, so to speak. But it's quite interesting what you said, Steph, about having a stall there. And we have had like small stalls in other kind of nights and other events that are going on. So maybe perhaps next year would be quite good to have like a central point where people can find us and talk to us and find out what we're all about.
If people are listening and they're like, oh, I could help with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be around all day. Loads of us are going to be around all day, and and we'll probably be around each other, to be honest, because I can stand them still, and of course
Shout Out gives Kiki a voice, as in you have a monthly podcast on the show.
And which where we talk about
even
everything.
More exciting, we're going to be on Ujima 98 the 19th of July.
But also, we're also doing Cardiff Pride. So there's a Cardiff BME Pride that we're doing in August. I think I can say that, right?
Yeah,
I can say that. Yeah. Well, spoilers.
We are now.
Get it here first.
Exactly. Like, we have to do it now. But yeah, we're doing that. So we really want to expand our Pride reach. We want to get to as many Cutiebok people as we possibly can, because it's so important to us to keep this mission going, because
we're also on Radio Turquoise, so we're broadcasting across South Wales as people will be listening and getting that message.
Let's tell listeners how they do get involved. I mean, for start, are you going to be identifiable at Pride? Are you wearing a t-shirt?
I
know everyone knows who Lara is.
We do have t-shirts.
Short of getting on the stage, everyone's going to see what I look like. Let's just not kid.
You know what I mean. I mean, are you guys going to be in like t-shirts or something so people will know
you're have
Kiki
t-shirts.
Yeah, I think for a period of time we're going to walk around in Kiki t-shirts.
Cool.
Just so people can
so
come
so people
and grab
want
us.
To ask questions. They can find you at Pride. So.
Yes.
But I mean, normal run of the mill, Pride's only obviously the once a year, but your event's going on every couple of months. How can someone who's listening find out more, come along?
Well, we're on all of the social media streams. We're on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Kiki Bristol on Facebook or Kiki _ Bristol on
Twitter.
Instagram, then you'll find straight to us and you can message us directly.
Cool.
Yes.
And can we find the twerking on there too?
Is it documented?
Is it on Instagram?
Certain things just shouldn't be documented, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I think that was a special moment shared by the crowd. That's,
it might happen again this year.
Yeah, 100% that's happening this year, but I won't say where or the location, you just have to turn up.
So, well, should we dare the audience, that if they see you at Pride, they need to get a video of you twerking?
Yes, prize, they might get
I feel
a
like
prize.
One of them's going to win this. use it, yeah. But definitely some kind of dance music and shapes are going to be thrown out by me and Peter.
Yeah.
For shizzle, definitely.
Well, listen, I mean, Lara, I know you'll definitely be back because you come and present with me.
Yes, you can't get rid of me, really.
And of course, the Kiki podcast is going out, and shout out too. And I'm sure we'll have you back again as well, Peter.
Yeah, it's lovely to be back.
It's really nice to hear, especially when, you know, we're lucky enough to be one of the first that even mentioned the fact that you were doing Kiki.
You were grassroots, weren't you? You were grassroots.
And hearing that it's been such a brilliant success, that's really good news.
It's been a fantastic year. And we're hopefully going to keep growing.
Yes, keep it going. Keep it going.
Thank you.
And it's been lovely to have you on.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute. Sorry.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
Just like us, for LGBT young people.
Good motto, Sarah.
Oh,
that's fun, isn't it?
Before we started this, James was like, I've got a really good intro.
And I did, and I used it. Good morning,
really
Sarah. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon.
This fine June. It is the afternoon now.
I'm doing excellent in this fine June. We've gone very posh.
Yeah, I really have. I don't know why I don't like it. It's June, which you wouldn't know because of the weather, but primarily...
It's Pride Month!
Woo! Yay. Happy Pride, everybody!
Yay.
Very exciting. What are you doing for Pride?
What am I doing for Pride? Well, I've been to Oxford Pride. We both went to Oxford Pride. We're both going to London Pride.
Woo! But what are we talking about this month?
We're actually talking about being LGBT in the workplace, which is a very interesting topic.
It is! So, we had a few questions we were going to kind of talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of the idea of being open at work and what that means to different people. There's levels of kind of openness. I mean, there's kind of going, you know, into the closet for a mm-hmm. workplace or a professional environment. And then there's being open, you know, if directly asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of this middle ground where you do kind of talk about it. And this, in my experience, has been kind of where I'm at. I do talk about it. I don't go out of my way to kind of hide mm-hmm. that I'm gay. But at the same time, there's definitely a degree to which... LGBT people, I think, often feel they have to tone themselves down, like they feel like they're being too LGBT.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very applicable to not just the workplace in sense of like you go into almost like closet mode where you're like, oh, okay, I'm with new people. I like don't know how they're going to react to me. I haven't really sussed them out yet.
Yeah.
So I'll go into my default mode, which is don't ask, don't tell, kind of like it is quite natural, I think, to go back into this idea of just my default mode. But I think there can be very positive experiences. And I think, like, if I was looking for an employer, I'd definitely want to find one that was like supportive of.
Yeah, and there are a lot of supportive employers around. I mean, I was seeing something on Twitter the other day. This guy was saying that he had fired one of his like employees for not refusing to respect one of his other employees' pronouns.
Exactly.
There's a lot of positive, and things are getting better, obviously.
Yeah,
all the
I think
time.
So. And there's a lot of ways, I think, to be able to like vet companies almost now and like find out about their stance on these kind of things that I don't think you would have been able to like really do or find out before. You kind of would have had to take the chance. But there's a lot of like the Stonewall Index and stuff like that I think are very important in terms of choosing an employer.
I mean, we had some stats here that we were going to mention as well.
Yeah, so this is according to the Vodafone International LGBT Plus survey, which is actually from Pride Month last year, so June 2018. Mm-hmm. And they said that 41% of 18 to 25 year olds went back into the closet when they started their first job, which is kind of very much what we were just talking about. And 3/4 of people who identify as LGBT Plus have hidden their sexual orientation or gender identity at least once at work.
Yeah.
So I think that really like hammers at home. And I think the reason behind this is it says more than half were not out because they feared discrimination. So I think that's like really sums up what we've been saying.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Okay, and now we're going to hear from Taz, who works with Just Like Us, and she's going to be interviewing Zoe, who is actually a Just Like Us mentor. So enjoy.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Taz.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So, Zoe, do you just want to introduce yourself and talk a bit about your identity and what you do for a living?
Yes, my name is Zoe Berto. I am a pensions actuary. I'm also the diversity and inclusion coordinator for my firm, and in particular sit on the LGBT plus committee.
What does it mean to be a diversity and inclusion officer in your company?
Well, it wasn't a role that existed before I came in, so I'm still figuring that out. It kind of means that I oversee a lot of the diversity and inclusion initiatives that are going on. I work with our diversity partners, oversee our employee resource networks, and kind of just make sure that all of our strategy is aligned.
What was the experience like of moving from a university and being an out LGBT plus person to then moving into your first workplace?
It was definitely intimidating to start out. I was always really involved in a lot of diversity and inclusion work at university, part of societies, sat on committees. I was the LGBT plus officer at my university, and I didn't really know what to expect. When I first joined, there was an LGBT plus network, but it wasn't very long standing. It was still sort of finding its feet, didn't have very many people involved. So I got in touch with the chair of the network as soon as I joined, and essentially said, looks like you've started something here. Is there anything I can help with? What can I do? I want to support. I want to be involved.
Could you identify anything either in the company and the way that the company behaved or about yourself that made you decide the LGBT network is not the most developed here, but I can step in and try and develop it?
I guess the biggest thing for me is that I didn't have another network necessarily. So I'm not really involved in sports. There were some other networks, but they really weren't. I didn't really have a place somewhere else. In the company, because I'm from the US, I'd lived in London for a year during my master's, but a lot of my good friends from that degree were international students who went back home. So I really didn't know very many people. I didn't have a very broad personal network in the city, and was trying to just find a place where I fit.
Is there anything that you would get a school leaver or a university leaver to do to prepare themselves for being LGBT in the workplace?
I think that it's fair and normal to be a little bit worried about the unknown. Obviously, the transition from school or from university into the workplace is big. There are so many things that are changing.
Mm-hmm.
So having another thing to throw into the mix, which is how am I going to tell people about my identity? How are they going to react? What if I don't tell them and they find out? It's really normal to be worried about those things. I think that the best thing that you can do is take power and control of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, grasping it head on and getting really involved was helpful. And, you know, like some people have their sports groups or whatever, that it is, it was my place.
You're listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people.
Wow, so good convo, good chat, Sarah.
Yeah.
I'll see you next month.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure as always. I will probably see you in between because we are actually friends.
I mean, he keeps trying to push this, but I'm just like, don't talk to me unless we're recording the podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful Pride, everybody.
Yeah, happy
see
Pride.
Ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to Just Like Us, the monthly show for LGBT young people. The music was by Twisterium. We come into schools too. Young people, teachers and parents can find us at www.justlikeus.org.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
There you go. That's a Paloma Faith.
Are you Stone Cold Sober?
Yeah, of course I am.
Just asking.
Okay, I am for another 10 minutes.
Once we get off the air, the rules don't apply.
No, they do not.
Nice glass of wine.
Hang on a sec. I've got to drive home. So they do apply for a while.
Yes. Okay, just a little bit longer. 8:37.
8:37.
I reckon that's when you might get home.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment, actually.
Well, unless he comes out for a drink with the rest of us.
I would love to. Unfortunately, I'm actually working this evening.
Of course you are.
What does that even mean?
It means no. It means I'm genuinely. I've got to go home and do some more work. But that's joys.
You mean after a drink, don't you?
No, I don't
really understand this working in the evening thing you just said.
Yeah.
Some of us
stick to your
dino
porn.
All right. I'll get back on the typewriter.
Who's been watching Tales in the City?
I have.
I've watched
on
the first
Netflix.
One.
I've done all 10 now.
Carl's done 10 hours. Couple.
Yeah. Wow. I found it quite intense, but quite uplifting sometimes. So it's got quite a lot of emotion stuff going on.
Don't give stuff away though.
I'm just saying
they all die.
They don't.
Laura Linney just goes crazy. It's really dark. Yeah.
I like your imagination. It's fantastic. Yeah. I look forward to reading your dinosaur book.
And what about the BBC One series, Gentleman Jack?
That's good. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that was a bit
brutal. The last of the series was a bit. I love the fact that it is actually a true story.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. It's every word she utters. They found all her diaries in the wall in Shipton Manor. It's incredible.
And there's a connection. Do you remember we had a duo on the show called Ahuli and Tito, who performed for us?
Yeah.
They sing the theme tune.
Oh,
to Gentleman Jack.
I absolutely love that. Trying to find it to my ringtone, but you can't on iPhones.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably can't.
Is that more a problem with iPhones?
Yeah, it is. It actually is, yeah.
Or is that like you don't know how to use an iPhone?
That's very strange, isn't it? That nobody but gay people buy iPhones, right? So
I know.
I was going to say, so gay.
Apologies
people don't.
To half my colleagues that listen. Yeah, at the
I was going to say, most of us are Android. Thank you very
LGBTQ2.
Much.
LGBTQ2.
Q2 plus.
Yeah.
Yes, Q2.
That community are the only people that buy iPhones. Top sellers, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and have you seen them? Top Gear are painting all their cars in rainbow colours.
That was in Brunei. They did a road trip in Brunei and painted their cars while they were going through that country in rainbow colours. Well done, Top Gear.
Yes, good.
Love it.
And although they probably would have had to go along with it anyway, I think it's great that presenters are like more than up for that. I think it just shows that they've got genuine support.
Did you see the first one? Did you have a look?
I've just seen the images.
I thought I'd give it a go because I wasn't really keen on the previous ones when Chris Evans had a pop at it. But this new series, they really do gel, the three of them.
Do they? I haven't seen it.
Do you know who the first presenter of Top Gear was?
Yes.
When was it?
1979, actually, yeah. I think it was.
Was Noel Edmonds in it?
No.
Terry Wogan?
No.
It was Helbum. It was Angela Rippon.
It was
a program about the motoring industry in the Midlands. It had nothing to do with actual cars.
That's how it started. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
A very different thing to broadcast.
To what it came, yeah.
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 So now you know.
And as we were saying off air, there's a new Freddie Mercury song out.
Yes you were saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
They found a recording of him that was done for a theatre. It was done for a show, and it originally had like lots of backing singers put over the top of it. But it was originally intended to be a solo with him, just with a pianist. So they got the pianist back in the studio. He's re-recorded the piano. They've cleaned up the audio that Freddie recorded and put it together, and they've released it. So Freddie Mercury. Song out.
Brilliant.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen the Queen film, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, we were talking about it the other week. Yeah. Yes, off mic, yes. Now, did you know one of our colleagues here on our home station, BCFM, Martin Spellacy, who does the nostalgia show, he met Freddie Mercury when he was a young man going out on the gay scene in about 1982.
Wow.
And Freddie was kind of like in his clone.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean?
What
that sort of moustache.
Yes.
Yeah. String vest sort of time. Yeah, met him. I think he bought him a drink, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. So very, anything else?
I was going to say.
No.
I don't think he'd tell us, would he?
No, I wouldn't.
Wow, yeah. What a claim to fame.
That is great, isn't it? Yeah, fantastic.
Anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, all the info about today's show will be up on our website, which is shoutoutradio.lgbt.
If you'd like to get in touch, please do, either through the website or email us at studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt.
How many times have you said that before to get that right? Anyway, next week, we're catching up with Queer Vision, find out what's going on in the film festival, and the man himself, Darren from Bristol Pride, will be here telling us all about the 10th birthday and everything. But for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.